Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Mason Crosby Show, live on the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios, powered by the Podway Sportsbook. Oh, there's some old school hip hop. That's what I'm talking about. Super producer Tommy, crushing it. Love it. All right, we made our Packers predictions. We made our other picks. We talked about the Milwaukee Bucks. And now it's time to talk to the highest drafted player ever from the state of Alaska. From one of the most interesting men in the history of the NFL. He's your friend and mine, but mostly Mason's. He is Darren College. Darren, welcome to the show.
I need you to start doing my intros for, like, I don't know, everything.
Darren,
like,
I'm here for it.
Music.
Yep.
Yeah. I need to start reaping some of the benefits of, I guess, this most interesting man in the world thing, because it's not working out so far.
Exactly. I will walk around with you. I will travel with you. I will sell sponsorships and promos. We will take this thing international, baby.
I like it. Like, I'm starting to see, like, I mean, and Mason will admit this before anybody else will. Like, I was podcasting before podcasts were cool. I had the college experience.
That's right.
And now I've somehow totally missed the podcast revolution, and now, like,
jumped out in front.
Former players' wives now have the most popular podcast in the United States, and I'm gross. Like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
You should have been.
You were just ahead of the game.
That's right.
Exactly.
You should have been Joe Rogan before Joe Rogan.
I was. I had the college experience. I'm still waiting for Joe Rogan experience to pay me back my back dues for stealing the name of my show.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I love it.
Yes.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Darren, hey, man, it's so good to have you on. And, you know, happy soon-to-be Thanksgiving tomorrow. I know you're down in Texas with the family, so I really appreciate you jumping on and, you know, talking a little ball, talking a little life with us. You know, I have so many things. I'm like, I don't know if we can squeeze this into one segment. I'm going to try to get to as many things that you've done in this full life that you've lived up to this point. I do think let's talk Packers first, and then we'll dive into all the other stuff. So I kind of want to just for listeners out there, you were drafted in 2006, the highest drafted player from Alaska ever, the most interesting man in the NFL. Yeah, we're gonna keep pumping that. And then so you started your time with Brett Favre, and then you had the whole transition with Aaron taking over and us going on and winning a Super Bowl. I would love just for you to tell everyone about, you know, that experience of starting with Favre, moving into, you know, the Aaron's time and kind of their differences and what it was like playing with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, you know, it's one of those things, obviously, you get the opportunity to go to the NFL, and especially a kid from North Pole, Alaska, you never really expect that opportunity. You really expect to be in the NFL for 5 minutes. You know, when I got drafted, I knew what I was walking into. I knew the locker room, and I knew we drafted a ton of offensive linemen. We had to play. Our job was to protect this Hall of Famer and this legend. But I was kind of like, the first day I walked in, I was like, this could be totally normal. He's one of our, you know, he's our teammate now. He's not just this guy on this pedestal. And I remember the first time he walked through the locker room, Jason Spitz and I were sitting there, and I was like, holy crap, it's Brett Favre. And you're just like, you know, it's a little surreal. And I think you kind of put a certain expectation on yourself to protect that guy. And you realize, like, if you don't, if you're the guy getting him hit over and over, like, the people in Green Bay are probably going to probably take care of you because they're at the local gas station with you and they know who you are. And it was just a rare, rare experience to be around a dude like that and a leader. And, I mean, there's too many stories to even tell of, you know, the shenanigans, but also like real leadership and, you know, a guy in the locker room and a guy in the, you know, the huddle who could calm an entire group down and let them embrace the special moments, but also lock them in, but, you know, fiery and all that kind of stuff. Aaron to me was a totally different animal. Aaron had obviously gotten there just before I did, but Aaron was my age. You know, I had a relationship with Aaron. You know, we were golfing together with guys like you, and we were going to meals together. It was a much more of a brotherhood relationship than it ever was with, you know, Brett. Because at that time, Brett was, you know, in his late 30s. And to me, at that time, I thought 30 years old was 100 years old.
He's an old man. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's an old man. And now I'm sitting here at 42. Like, God, he was still a young guy back then. And it's just, but I came up with Aaron, and I had a different relationship with him. So, you know, Aaron was a guy, when I played, I would have gone to the wall for him for anything. You know, he was one of those guys, like, if he needed me to, you know, get a shovel out of the car, I would have done it in a heartbeat, because it was just that kind of relationship. Now, I tell everybody, you know, Aaron's made $200 million since then, and we're not staying in touch, so I don't know who he is. So I get to hold on to those old memories of who Aaron is, but I got a feeling if he called me up and he still asked if I had a shovel in my car, I might help him out.
I love that. I hear you. And,
I love that.
And I believe you. And so that's a good segue for as we go into kind of, you know, secondary Darren College, most interesting man, is your time in the military post-playing. So whenever you say you will get a shovel for Aaron, that's not too far-reaching, because you've been in those trenches. You've been in battle. Tell everybody about your decision post-playing to join the military, and what all that experience was like.
I mean, it was an amazing experience. It was probably one of the most selfish things I've ever got to do. You know, military was going to be my route out of Alaska. You know, I came from a blue-collar community. It's the kind of place you do what your dad did, or you join the military and you leave. I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship because somebody believed in me and took a chance, but always kind of thought the military would eventually be my route. When we won the Super Bowl and we had a chance to travel out and start seeing the troops, I kind of made it regular from after that to do the, you know, the USO tours and the Navy entertainment tours and go out and spend a ton of time with the troops. And I realized it was something that I wanted to be kind of a part of and wanted to support as much as I could. After wrapping up my ninth season, I was kind of looking for the next thing, the next opportunity, the next team to be on. And I went back to Boise, Idaho, and I had a chance to join the National Guard out there and the Army side of it and be involved in aviation, which I loved. And I really went out to support the community that supported me. You know, all the people that, you know, came out and gave me everything I've got in my life, gave me every opportunity at Boise State, came out and watched my games and did that. And I got to do a great job. And the great thing about the National Guard is I got to fight fires. I got to do search and rescue. I got to do all that cool stuff. But then I got to go out and do my Army mission. I got to go into Afghanistan. I got to, you know, fly around in helicopters. I got to be part of a medevac unit. I got to bring kids home back to their parents. And that was my ultimate goal. You know, I knew I was, you know, I was 34, 35 years old, 36 years old going into the military. I wasn't a young kid. I wasn't a hero. I wasn't a door kicker. I'm not fighting terrorism. I was out there trying to bring kids back to their parents and give them another shot to come home. You know, I got a chance to work with heroes and walk with giants, and it was one of the best things in my entire life and some of the most meaningful times in my existence. It was 9 months of working with people for a common goal. And, you know, we saved most of them. We didn't get all of them, but, you know, hopefully we brought a few kids back to, you know, to a reality of their parents and their kids and all that kind of stuff. And I loved it.
Gosh, every time you talk about that, Darren, man, like I like to ask you about it all the time, I feel like, because it just, it gives me chills and it makes me appreciate what you did and, like, obviously our military and, you know, what they're about. And just hearing you talk about why you did it, the why of it is just so awesome. You know, you were jumping, you know, going out of helicopters, saving soldiers and trying to bring them back out of harm's way. You did, if I'm not mistaken, you did three tours of duty, is that correct?
No, I only got one full tour.
Okay.
Over there, you know,
it was 9 months, is that
tours.
What it was?
Yeah, 9 months. So I was only over in Afghanistan for the 9 months. I had my second full tour coming up at the end of my last year in the Army. But when I got diagnosed with cancer, I lost my flight status and there was no guarantee that I was going to get it back. And I kind of made a decision at that point where I had to either re-sign with the Army, not knowing what my future looked like with either cancer or not flying, or going home and healing up and you know, kind of pivoting my life. So we made a decision at that point that we would head the other direction. It was super tough. You know, I'd served 6 years and had, you know, a little bit more reserve status left and was really mixed. I had a lot of my buddies that were heading back to Afghanistan to do it again. And it was a real tough transition. But, you know, medical kind of made the decision for me and made it a little simpler. And, the Army helped me out through that. And, you know, luckily I had medical care, you know, through that kind of stuff. But really that made the decision for me not to go out and tour again. Now I had tours, you know, in California fighting fires and doing all that kind of stuff. But yeah, my only combat tour was my one in Afghanistan.
You say only, I mean, you went to war. So, again, amazing.
Pretty big deal.
So, after
well,
your time,
you guys have done a lot more.
Oh gosh, I mean, like you said though, and like I said, not enough to talk about in this, you know, 15-20 minutes of you again got. You only left because you were diagnosed with cancer and then had to fight that battle as well. You know, which again is, you know, so many of us are affected by and have, you know, been in that situation either personally or know somebody that has. And, you know, again, you just are not afraid to go and fight the battles that, you know, some people might shy away from, or it might be tough, or you have such a great mindset and you go and attack it. So, whew, all right, I'm gonna talk, like, so after Green Bay, we win the Super Bowl, you get a good contract and you go to Arizona. I'm not going to dive into too much Arizona just because the next little part is you end up in Miami in 2014 with Joe Philbin when he was the head coach, former offensive coordinator and offensive coach at Green Bay. And I remember we played you that year in 14 down in Miami. And I remember talking to you and you're just like, yeah, you know, I just, you know, I fly my plane all over the place. I do all this stuff. Like, I was just like, what? You just like, you know, jump in your plane and take off and you take the family skiing, just, you know, hop in a puddle jumper and go and, you know, ski on your breaks. But talk a little bit about, because the Packers are playing the Dolphins tomorrow night, what the Dolphins franchise was like and some of the differences, you know, going from Green Bay to Arizona and then to Miami Dolphins and, you know, some of the nuances of each organization.
Yeah. You know, leaving Green Bay, I think, was the hardest thing I ever did. You know, a lot of guys have the same exact story as I do. You know, the Packers are notorious for, you know, getting guys for the price they want. And, you know, a lot of guys feel like their value is different. And when the game's going to be short timer, you're trying to do what you can. I wanted to be a Packer for life. I think most people know me. I'm kind of a loyal guy. I wanted to kind of do that thing, the one team thing, and that wasn't the opportunity. The opportunity changed for me to go to Arizona, and I loved my time there. And then the transition happened again, and I went down to Miami, and I was kind of battling towards the end of my career. I was still obviously starting, but I knew I only wanted to play one or two more years, and I was looking at the different opportunities out there, and Joe called me up from Miami and said, hey, come on down. And we looked at the opportunity and said it was a great fit. Obviously, we knew the offense right off the top. I actually thought Tannehill was a very good quarterback and was kind of excited to play for him. They were coming out of the Richie Incognito situation down there, and they were just looking for some stability and a leader on the offensive line. And I was happy to do it, and I was excited to do it. And I knew we were going to settle back in Boise. So the chance for a kid that, you know, lived in Alaska to, you know, maybe go spend his last year or two in the league living on the beach was a great thing. And I was excited and wanted to go down and really see what that was like. I don't think Miami could be further on the spectrum difference than Green Bay is. I mean, the difference in city, the difference in fan base, the difference in the population couldn't be more different. It's a superstar community. It's one of those things where you're around all these other professional athletes all the time, all these distractions. It's a tough place to play. I tell everybody that. It's a hard place to focus on the game. I think Green Bay, you know, places like Green Bay, places like, you know, New England, they have an advantage in the fact that you're isolated and you have a chance just to focus on football. They will always have different challenges down there. But the challenges of going to Miami, as you know, are it's always 150 degrees and 250% humidity. So exactly. They have that home field advantage is good, too. It's awesome to see what their coaching staff has kind of done down there, rebuilt that program, done some things with Tua to make them competitive again. And I'm excited for anybody that's wrote their name on my paycheck. So I support all of them. But this weekend, my loyalty will obviously fall back to the pack.
Woo! Awesome. Well, we're talking with Darren College and here on the Mason Crosby Show on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, powered by Potawatomi Sportsbook. So, Darren, oh man, I'm gonna kind of go into, you know, kind of personal life. Obviously, something that is near and dear to Molly and I's heart that you've gotten into, and you got into kind of it while you were still playing with two of your other offensive line buddies, and it's such a great story. And Tony Mull and Jason Spitz are, you know, some of our dear friends as well. And I want you to talk about your wine label and your wine company, Three Fat Guys. Tell us a little bit about that and kind of what you're doing now, you know, outside the game.
Yeah, Three Fat Guys, you know, Three Fat Guys really, it started up as a joke. It was one of those things, you know, when you're an offensive lineman playing in the NFL, nobody really wants your stuff. I think my mom bought all my jerseys. My aunt bought all my cards that when so I played. Good. And we were trying to figure out something that we could kind of give out during the holiday season for fun and give it out when we do charity events. It was a little different, a little more unique. And at that time, Charles Woodson had really just started his label, Charles Woodson Wine. And we got to having a few drinks with him and had a little back and forth. And we're like, hey, is there a way for us to piggyback your label? You know, Tony Mull, Jason Spitz, you know, Tony's from Sonoma. He, you know, he's got a large, you know, wine background history. And we were like, okay, hey, we can make the grapes. We can do the production, but we need somebody who can bottle it. And it started out as 124 cases that we were going to drink half of it and we were going to give the other half away for, you know, charity. And now I think this year, you know, Tony's down there running the company full time. I think we'll do 20 or 30,000 cases and the wine label's growing and we have a little tasting room down in Sonoma and we love it. It's a tailgate party. You know, I think the only thing we take serious is the wine. We don't take ourselves very serious. You know, I hope everybody out there is following Tony on social media and following Three Fat Guys. He does an amazing job down there with our entire staff having a great time. And, you know, it's probably the only true Packer bar in the Sonoma Napa area, and we're proud of that.
I love it.
Darren, I got to ask, because I'm on the site right now, and I see the rosé, the Pinot Noir rosé. You know, my wife, Mrs. Thunder, she's rosé all day, baby. So tell me about the rosé, man.
I'm the same way. I'm a rosé all day guy. So it's super funny. You know, we started producing that 100% Pinot Noir, and it actually goes faster than almost anything we do. We end up doing it in big bulk supplies, and it comes and goes just as fast as, you know, our Champ, our Brut Rosé, and our regular Brut. They as soon as they're in, they seem to be going. But that's definitely one of the ones I try to do in my restaurants and specialize in Boise. We try to have, you know, Rosé all day party at least once a year. But it's when I'm back in town and I'm doing pourings or I'm doing tastings, that's what I drink. I love it. Now, as we're rolling into winter, it's not really my favorite winter wine, but all summer, I live on that and pretty much the Sauv Blanc we make. So it's, I think it's the best around, but obviously I'm partial and I'm trying to make sure Tony's kids get their college paid for. So
I love it, man. So Molly and I are headed to Sonoma and Napa next week for a couple days. So we're going to stop by and see Tony. I think maybe next Wednesday, do a little Human Wednesday there in Sonoma. But, you know,
we'll see if we can get your reservation.
Yeah, can you let me in? I mean, that would be nice. Maybe I'll take my equipment. Maybe I won't take Wednesday off again next week, and we'll just hit it from the winery.
Let's do that. Yes,
that would be fun.
Tony'd love it. Absolutely.
Man, whenever you and Tony and Jason do anything like a group interview together, it is the best. Like those times when you came to the Lombardi and y'all would just sit up there and just go back and forth for like 30 minutes on all things football, life. You three are just the best, and some of my my closest friends after and around this game. So you just get me excited, talking all things football and life, and the stuff that you do off the field is so exceptional that I'm so glad you were able to come on and we could showcase some of that, because that is what my hope is to continue to show the human side of what being an NFL athlete, being a professional athlete is all the stuff, the family, the friends, the teammates that you have lifelong bonds with. Those things are so important. And I think it's important for fans to see that you are more than the game. You have gone on to be a businessman, gone to the National Guard, done all these things. It's so important because you hit on it, and I said it a little bit, you have restaurants.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In Boise as well, right?
Yeah. I appreciate everything you're saying, because it really is. I think a lot of guys get wrapped up in this game and they become just that, and people see them as just that, and that's fine. A lot of people are wrapped up in what they do in their business. I always looked at football as being a part-time job. Never thought I'd make it more than 5 minutes, and then I made it 9 years, and now I'm doing something I love. Like you said, I kind of felt like I got a chance to break the mold and do the military thing, and now all of a sudden I'm a cliche athlete who runs restaurants, and I'm out here trying to lose every dollar I made running restaurants. But yeah, I have two restaurants right now in Boise, the James and the Sandwich Bar, and they're both doing great, and we're trying to open a third one. Those ones are going so good, we thought we would try to sink ourselves into this third one, and we're having a bunch of fun with it. But I got involved in the restaurant game for the things that you just said. Like, to me, some of my best memories in football and in life were around a table with friends and with family, and providing that experience to other people is why I got in the hospitality business. I want to continue to provide those unique experiences and those memories for other people. And then I want to continue making them with my friends and my family at places that I get to call my own and I get to put my name on. And it's really just the next journey and the next chapter. I firmly believe it's not the last chapter, the last thing I'll ever do. But for right now, it's one that I'm working on full time. And I'm in every single day trying to find a way to do it a little bit better and bring that same excellence that hopefully we brought on the football field for all those years.
Man, well, Darren, I really appreciate you jumping on. I know you're there with family. I tell Megan and the kids hi, and have an awesome Thanksgiving. You're in the great state of Texas, so grab some dirt for me, and give it a little squeeze, and tell Texas I miss it. But thanks for jumping on. Have a great Thanksgiving. Really, really miss seeing you all the time, and hopefully we can get together soon, and have a glass of rosé together.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. I'll give Texas my best. I figured they deserved to have us down here the holiday season. I think we're the last people to win a championship in this stadium. So,
oh, nice. Let's go.
Down here enjoying it. But, you know, it's been great talking to you, buddy. Give Molly the best. I know she's listening to you because that's all she ever does. But give her my love. You guys have a great holiday. And hopefully we'll see you guys soon.
Awesome. Appreciate you, Darren.
Thanks, Darren.
Take care, buddy.
All right, that's Darren, a college offensive lineman for our Green Bay Packers, the Arizona Cardinals, Miami Dolphins, and just all around like Renaissance man. And I may have just tweeted that Mrs. Thunder has already volunteered to be an endorser and influencer for his rosé. So,
well, like he said, I mean, now it's everyone, all the players' wives, and anyone is podcasting and being an influencer. Whenever he had the college experience, he started the game.
He was first,
and now he's he's tapped out, and he doesn't do it anymore. When he was an innovator before it even started, the most interesting man in the NFL ever, Darren College.
True story. So a blast to hang out with it and hear from him, and I'm sure we will get him in the weeks and months to come as we get updates on what he's up to and just his take on what's going on with the current Packers, and fun to catch up with your old dudes, Mace.
He's a man. He's a guy that you want to hang out with. I mean, talking about being in the restaurant business, the wine business, he is a guy. He shows up. He brings the fun. He brings the party. And he is just so personable and great. So, yeah, I love that he was able to, jump on, give a few minutes, during this holiday week, when he's down there in Texas with his family. So that's the bond. And that's the kind of stuff that, again, yesterday I hit on a little bit with Oren coming on, just those teammates, that bond that we have. We were in the trenches. I wasn't in battle like they were, but we grind it out every week, and we achieve something amazing together. We won a Super Bowl together. So that bond runs deep, and we'll always have that.
Well, we talked about Darren College and his Boise ties, and played a big role with the Boise State Broncos. Let's turn our attention to the college football rankings and what that top 12 and those who are on the inside and trying to stay on the inside this weekend, those who are on the outside hoping for things to fall their way this weekend, what those new rankings and what some of those matchups might look like and how they'll be affected by the games this weekend. Some college football rankings talk coming up here on the Mason Crosby Show. We're live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.